O Lord of mercy, pure and holy, we approach unto thee, O Lord, in thy holy word, asking thee, Lord, to be in our presence, and that we in turn, O Lord, would lift up our souls and our hearts unto thee, and draw unto thee in thy presence through prayer and faith, through worship and meditation. It is our prayer that thou would bless thy word, that it would go forth as according to thy will, through the lips of clay, and also reverberate in each of our hearts and lives, that thy image would be magnified, thy name would be glorified by one and all. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17. And read a few verses from verse 11 to 19, the account of the one of ten that came back to give thanks to God. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus, answering, said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He says to the man, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith. This is what has made the difference between this one man and his 9 friends. Faith is the means through which God can work and heal and cleanse and forgive a man. Faith is the channel through which God's blessings and his presence can have access to our heart and our lives. It would seem that Jesus focuses upon the faith of the man. And so that will be the focus tonight. As we would meditate on this faith and its fruits in the man's life. It's my prayer, and I'm sure our collective prayer, that we would be encouraged and that we would be challenged to have a desire for a faith that moves us, like this man was moved, against the crowds and close to Jesus. We see that this man turns around. He worships God, and he comes to his Savior. He comes into Jesus' presence. And he is the one that is declared to be whole. He is the one that's complete. He's sound at the end of this account. All of the men started the same way. They had leprosy. There was sickness and there was death filling their bodies. They were all outside of the city, apart from their families, apart from the community. They were waiting. They all lifted up their voice and asked and cried for mercy. They all heard Jesus' response and his command. They even all obeyed what Jesus told them to do. Where things change for this man is when he turns back. This turning back is an act of faith. It is something that should be one of the fruits of our faith. Whenever we're going in a certain direction and we turn around, you always pause, even if it's just for a moment. But you have to stop if you turn around. And there's a lot of value to pausing and to turning around. The Bible talks about this as repentance. And faith in God will produce that in us when God brings to our attention something that needs to change, something that he wants and needs us to do. For this man, he was going to the priest, but something changed his direction. What was it that was going through his mind? He came to some realization that the Jesus Christ, the one who he had called out to, was the one he needed to give credit to. And in a beautiful sense, this man does obey Jesus. He goes to his great high priest and Savior. And he goes to the right one to intercede for him, like a priest should do, to be a representative between man and God. You see, in that moment where he paused and where God provided him insight and exposed his heart and mind to the truth, he believed it. And because he believed it, he turned around and did something about it. All of the men looked at their skin. They realized they were healed. Why did some not connect it with going back? Did they not realize it was Jesus? No, knowledge is not enough. To know how the word explains things is not enough. It does not change a man's heart. God has access to a man's heart when he believes that which he knows and that which he has learned. When he believes and does not resist the light that God shines into his heart. what did he ask himself? What went through his mind when he debated, well, should I continue going or should I turn around? Perhaps he asked, what just happened? He was obviously surprised. But he took the time to consider what just happened. What did God just do? A lot of times, mankind, and this is for everybody in general, when things go really bad, when some awful calamity happens, we stop and we question, what just happened? What are you doing, God? And we look for reason. We look for purpose. We want some truth to hold on to. That doesn't often happen when something good comes our way, though. In general, we'll accept it gladly, but not question it. Not wonder why, not seek for some insight into what God is doing with this. A man who walks by faith will not just look at the events of his life as a meaningless string of events and occasions, but he will see life and the events that come and the people that he interacts with and the circumstances that arise as something that God is orchestrating and has a purpose for. But how few really know? How few have paused to take the time to understand, what is my purpose? When things go well, we often like to just continue it, and we don't want to think about it. We don't want to see what direction God is going in. We just enjoy the ride. But faith will cause us to pause. Faith that moves us. Faith that is more than just going through the motions. Like these other nine. They obeyed, but they went through the motions. Their heart was not stirred. They were not affected. And they were not declared whole. They received some blessing from Jesus, though. They received a gift. But that's the limit. That's the extent that they really pursued the Lord. The Lord, in other words, the Lord is good enough that I can take his gift, but that's pretty much all I want from him. As long as I've got his gift, and as long as I've got his blessing, I'm not going any further. But look what they missed out on. Oh, yes, they were healed, and we can spiritualize that a lot. But it was just a physical healing. It was just a physical benefit that they got from their interaction with Jesus. And so we can think about the motivations that people have for becoming Christians. Maybe they're social motivations and they get some benefit from being part of a group and being accepted. Maybe they please their parents. Maybe it gives them some other advantage. And they're satisfied with that, but don't go further. If we paused long enough to know the Lord, who he is, and to know us and how much we dearly need him. We wouldn't stop there. Faith wouldn't leave us to stay there. And it didn't leave this man to continue going on his way with his own idea of, like, this is my priest, this is what I always do. Never questioning his assumptions about what Jesus meant. Never opening himself up to the direction that God wanted him to go in. But he did. And he's an example to us. Especially, you know, we say it so often, there's no time. There's no time. We're too busy. We're going about our day. We're doing this and doing that. Does that scare you? I think it makes me a little bit nervous about how easy it is to get lulled into that rhythm of life without pausing. Without really wanting to connect with my Lord, to seek him, to understand his purpose. So many verses that we could read about, and we say it all the time, regarding the believer and God's intent to make us conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And we maybe say it so much that it just becomes habitual. But really, the events that happen in your life, the time that God has given you, the resources that he has entrusted to your disposal, he has an expectation that they would come into the order of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And it often takes time to pause, to allow God to inspect, to allow God to speak, to allow God to redirect and focus our feet. Because 90% are going the wrong way, and it's easy to follow the crowd. But faith is moving this man, and it's an example to us. The next thing that we see that this man does is, with a loud voice, he glorifies God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. This man and his faith brought him to a place of worship before the Lord, to a heart of devotion, of dedication, and humility. And I wonder, if God really is who he says he is, and I really am who the Word says I am, how can it be any different? But it takes a choice. It takes a choice, and it takes training on our part to have a heart that is filled with worship and thanksgiving. Our nature is to be dissatisfied, to diminish the value of things that we take for granted. But we see in this man and how his faith is exercising him and moving him. He's not ashamed to speak. He's not ashamed to be heard. He's not ashamed to be seen, to bring glory to his Lord. And neither should we. It is our great privilege to be to be light bearers in this sin-darkened world. We can do all kinds of things well. You can be a good minister, you can be a good servant, you can do all kinds of things well. But what if that really brings glory to the Lord? Now, people might compliment you for your capability or your love. But when we reflect the Lord, when we reflect his order, when our lives are demonstrating the wisdom of God as revealed in the scriptures, then it's not about us. People may see our good works, but they'll glorify our Father which is in heaven, because that is more important, far more important than us. That's what he's calling us to. And that's what this man's faith leads him to glorify God and to go so far as to put himself in a position of humility. He falls down on his face at his feet because of a physical healing. And he has every reason to be thankful. What a blessing. And I think about myself and all of us who have been born again, who have been brought into the family of God, who've had our sins forgiven, who've experienced the patience of a loving God who's called us by his word and waited for that fruit of faith in our lives, who's blessed us with a family, a church family, to be accountable to and to serve within and to hone us and to sharpen us. Yes, this Samaritan leper has a lot to be thankful for, but the greatness of the blessings that we've received, the eternal blessing of salvation, there is a reason to take this posture. It's the place, really, where God will lift a man up and provide for him. God's gonna help the one who humbles himself. He's going to resist the proud. And so that's exactly what we see. You know, this pausing and this worship. Now he's at Jesus' feet. Now he's in the place where he's going to receive. He's going to receive something that he never would have dreamed of when he woke up in the morning. He's at the feet of Jesus. He's in the presence of his Savior. He's learning about the fellowship with God's Son, his Creator, the one who had a reason for forming him and making him and bringing him through that leprosy. Just like you and me, our faith needs to lead us somewhere. It's to lead us to Jesus Christ and fellowship with him. A relationship of closeness, of love, and a desire to be in his presence. And that is where he finds salvation. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And there's nowhere that your heart and your soul can find refuge than in Jesus Christ himself. Consider what that means. This is the goal. This is the hope of our faith. that Christ would be within us, that of him and through him and to him would be all things to the man of faith. You ask me why I do this? I say, because of Jesus Christ. You ask me why this happens? It is serving his purpose. You ask me how you can have joy in tribulation? It is because of my Lord. You ask me why you do not participate in these things that the world just continues to go on in? It's because I'm a Christian. And Jesus has something to say about that. And by faith, I believe it. And I would not want to be anywhere else than in the center of his will. Because there only I find salvation. And that is the destination. That is the hope. That is what he finds. All 10 were cleansed of their leprosy, but one was made whole. We live in this broken world. We live in this world that pursues after pleasures that last so short. They're meaningless almost once we get them. But even in this broken world, Jesus brings wholeness. He binds up the brokenhearted. He sets at liberty them that are bruised and preaches deliverance to the captives and the gospel to the poor. And isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it just a surprising thing that we learn these lessons of faith? And Jesus chose that he would be a Samaritan, poor, despised, a nobody. But that's probably the best person that we can learn from, because we're nothing great, but Jesus is. Jesus can do with a man of faith great things, because he makes him whole. He makes him complete. He sets his feet on paths that lead to whole lives and whole families and whole relationships. Things that are not lacking. Things that are fruitful for eternity. He sets him with a love and a concern. Did you notice what Jesus' concern was? It's the only question that he asks. Where are the 9? Where are the ones who just stopped at that first blessing? Where are the ones that heard but aren't here and aren't close, that are missing the point? The faith of Jesus Christ will give us that same concern. Where are they? And the faith of Jesus Christ will also shine to our own heart, that we would ask, where are we? And the word shines to us as encouragement and challenge of what faith should do. And may by his Holy Spirit and the word that we have be encouraged and inspired to have that faith that moves us and brings us all closer to our Savior Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. Amen.